31st of March afternoon session with Jonathan, Sarah, Christine, Betty, Sukin, Azita, Ivan and Al.
Up to Anulomayana.
ก็ทำสุรธรรมเจริญวิปัสสนาจนถึงอนุโลมญาณ
In that life
ชติปาระจริงอยู่ The same passage but it depends on how much one can see whether it's ready for
I see
and this is not Sankhara-upekkhayana this is Anulomayana because after Anulomayana there is Kotarapu
Yes
The Anulomayana is one moment
Yes
and thenAfter that, Kotapu,
right.
and then Makatika.
Right.
But all the process, not only one yana, three, Barikama, Upachara, Anulom, Anulomayana. The citta in the series of Makatika.
The three.
It doesn't say anything about Sankharupeka.
No, it mentions Anuloma. But Ajahn says, well, it depends how you read it.
Because you see that when we talk about Anulomayana, it is not one moment. When we talk about Anulomachitta, it's the moment before Kotrapu. But when we talk about the process of enlightenment, it starts with Barikam Upachara, and then Anulom, and then Kotrapu, and then Makati. So all three jittas are Anulomayana.
But I think that it says Yava Anulomanyana or up to or something.
No, yeah. This is not very precise, just about he develops a Satipatthana, Jaran Vipassana. Anybody use the term Jaran Vipassana?
Right.
Well, it's Satipatthana.
But what you're saying about the Anuloma, you're saying it's not the Jitta or what is
it? I don't know because it's not clear. Right. It just said
up
to Anulomanyana.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean includes Anuloma.
And no. then stop, see, the same.
But apparently the Pali, the word is Yava Anuloma.
It says up to Anuloma and then stop.
Mujjhima Nikaya Mulapanna.
And then which sutta?
Alakkhattupamasutta.
Alakkhattupamasutta.
The end of the commentary.
Yes.
I talk about Jula Sodaban. Mikhati thi nae non. The word Mikhati thi nae non mai kwa ma mai pai nae non.
Me a like up
kati.
What is that word?
Kati, sukati, and tukati.
Is that destination kati?
Kati is the place for birth.
So they say that in the Visuddhi Margatika expression up to the vicinity of conformity and change of lineage, it says in the Tika that that means Sankharupekkhayana.
And that is the sub-commentary.
So it's Dhammapala word.
Oh no, we didn't say that. It depends on aspect, different aspects. Maybe there are three moments which are Anulomayana, but not Sankharupekkhayana. But it is Anulomayana. Sankharupekkha arise before Anulomayana.
We were just having a discussion after lunch, and I just made a remark that Anatta is so lonely. And the conversation just went on from that.And I think part of it might be to do with, say, my accumulations because I work with people all day.
But when you talk about lawyer, there must be atta.
Yes, I know.
Not an atta. See, it's atta, so it's lonely.
Yes.
So whenever there is such feeling, it shows that it's atta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask a little bit more about the two meanings of jhana.One is Aramanupani Jhana, which I'm used to thinking of as referring to jhana in the common sense, and Lakkhanupi Jhana, which I'm used to thinking of as referring to concentration at the level of jhana at the moment of Margacitta. But in India, you were saying that because Samatha and Vipassana have to develop, that one can refer to Lakkhanupi Jhana, the second one, right from the beginning of the development of Vipassana, and Aramanupani Jhana as right from the beginning of developing Samatha. Is this right?
What is jhana first? What is jhana?
To burn and to shine. So
there are two ways, not one way. For the Samatha Pavana, it is Aramanupanichan. And for Satipatthana, it is Lakkhanupanichan.
So one burns the object.
By having concentration on a certain object.
And one shines by developing...
Burns away the akusala by knowing or understanding the lakana of reality.
So are these both burning or shining?
The meaning of jhana is burning. Yeah.
Not shining.
But I don't know Pali because I don't know what is meant by shine. But for burning we can understand.
Why would jhana be burning? What burns?
Akusala.
I wrote that the meaning is burning, which you'd said, but she said actually two meanings, burning and shining. So I don't know if it's the same or different.
As much as we can know, it's burning. But so we can understand it burns. Akusala.
So if we talk about burning of akusala, can one say any moment of satipatthana is lakanu pijana because it's burning away kalesa? Or can one say any moment, so right from the beginning it is this meaning of jhana?
Yeah, we don't have to burn moment, but burn akusala. Mm.
But how is a moment of satipatthana burning akusala?
Whenever there's right understanding, the akusala cannot arise together. And it burns until it's all burnt.
Do we see this meaning of lakanu pijana in the text? Because usually when I see it, I read it as referring to lokutra cittas, but this we're talking
about. But before then.
So it definitely refers to any moment of satipatthana.
And lakanu panicca is the moment having the reality as its object.
So it must be satipatthana.
Because even jhana starts from the beginning up to the apanasamati.
So any moment of samatha or any moment of samatha development is aramanu panicana.
Yeah. Or lakanu panicana. It burns until it's all burnt.
So if it is a moment of metta, can it be referred to as aramanu panicana?
It depends on whether you'd like to know that the object of that which can condition stronger or karma, kusala, is jhana. So we don't mind what object. This or that, one by one. Just jhana means burning.
Burning.
Yeah.
And it has to develop. So it can refer to any moment of samatha development.
And upajara samadhi and apanasamadhi, samadhi, all to do with samatha.
But even before upajara samadhi, there must be burning.
Does it not burn or nothing to do and then just burn?
No, it must be burning.
Yeah.
So any bhavana right from the beginning is burning.
Moment, without the first, it's impossible to have it burnt.
I don't think that there would be a question like, and so is kusala also burned?
You don't think so?
But in fact it is.
Okay, see, we just talk about things like that, whether it burns or not. But when we understand moment of kusala, at that moment there is no akusala accompanying. Is that not true?
Yeah, but if the goal is to attain parinirvana, then we're burning everything.
And only the goal or the practice or the development? And then we'll come to whether dana burns or not again.
Well, can one say it has to be development? So, for example, if there's no wisdom accompanying it, then
does it burn?
Does it burn?
Not necessary to think about. Because only dana cannot eradicate defilements.
So I understand that it has to be with wisdom in order to develop and burn away.
Temporarily or absolutely,
When we're talking about the classification of dhatus, manodhatu, some cittas are singled out under manodhatu, the Panchadwara Vajana and the two Sampaticchanas. Why are they given a different classification as manodhatu?
Because these three cittas can experience five objects only through five doorways.
What about some others that it can experience five objects, for example, Santirana?
It can arise through my door.
Oh, I see. These are only five
doors.
And rupas are classified as being very clear, faint, very faint. Is this just according to the moment of experiencing and the process of the cittas, or does it have anything at all to do with the objects themselves, the visible objects,
the sun? It's faint or strong.
For example, someone with bad eyesight, can one say the object experience is faint or clear? So mm-hmm. it's not just according to what number in the viti the seeing arises, it's the object itself.
We talk about whether there are vitijitta up to the tathāgata or not, because the object has fallen away. That's all.
What was the point for making?
The point was, well, a friend of ours who is an Abhidhamma scholar, he said that whether rupas are classified as very clear, clear, faint, very faint, is according to at what point of the life of the rupa the citta experiences it, so whether it's the first or second moment or whatever, because we know it also depends on whether the process is completed. So he said it's nothing to do with the rupas, it's just according to whereabouts in the life of the rupa the consciousness experiences it. But Jana's just said no, it's the object itself.
Because you see that whether the object is clear or faint, what about its lifespan? If it has fallen away, the tathāgata cannot arise, no matter it's faint or clear.
So it makes no difference how clear or not clear it is. But I think that it does say in the commentary that the two tadaramana arise for very clear objects. It's not that.
What about the faint one, but the lifespan is only 15 moment, not 17, only 15 as object?
You know, you have, say, a process, a seeing process, a seeing moment, and seeing sees a rupa. So the seeing arises and that rupa arises.
Rupa must have arisen first.
The rupa must arise first. I guess this is a question that can't be answered. Is it right that moment that the vibhaka for some past karma happens? It just happens that citta arises and a rupa arises quite uncontrolled. They just happen.
No, nothing just happens.
You mean that rupa arises and falls away by nature?
Rupa's arising and falling away
when
all the
it's
time,
not the right time for vipaka citta to arise. The rupa arises and falls away?
Anytime.
So there are the conditions for the rupas to arise, and then there are the conditions for the cittas to arise to experience it. And one of the conditions for the citta to arise is that rupa, there's no rupa to be experienced, then one citta wouldn't arise. Another is the base, the bhattu, and another is the contacting and
karma,
the main one. There's no karma to experience that object, like loud noise. It says, for example, if it's a very faint object, then no jhāvana cittas, because the cittas are arising too late. So there is some correlation between
they
the
can be bodhapanna without jhāvana.
So I thought that this is when it's a very faint object.
I don't know whether it's faint or not
because
of the age or the
because of the age of
the rupa.
Because when this person wrote this, it didn't seem correct, but when I checked, I can't find anything to disagree with him, because it does say that the classification seems to depend on the age of the rupas.
For the word faint might mean because jhāvana does not arise.
Right.
That's
yes.
all the meaning yes. of it. But it does mean that the faint rupa and the clear rupa. But since jhāvana does not arise,
would it not mean soft sound, loud sound?
Well, this is the point, whether when they're called clear and very clear and faint, whether it is just dependent on the age of the rupas or whether it is just the object. Could we say it's both?
That's why when we come to this point, people think this way and the other think this way. But by thinking about the age of rupa is the right answer, because no matter it's not clear or clear rupa, since jhāvana does not arise, it's not lopa or dosa or kusala which experience it, only seeing and sampatichana and santirana and
bodhapanna. But for example, if it's experienced as faint visible object or something, then this is the nature of the rupa, not the age. not when it is experienced.
The love is the loved one, and the soft one is the soft one.
The object is self. Yeah. So I think we have to look at both meanings there.
We have to understand what's meant by faint. Yeah.
So there's very clear, faint, and very faint. Right, no vidicitas when it's the very faint.
Because you see that they can use this word because it seems faint, it looks faint because Javana does not arise. Only that, but the nature of Rupa itself must be the same, no matter it's loud or not
so
loud.
It's either experienced or not experienced, but the nature of the Rupa will not be perceived differently according to when it arises. Mm-hmm. The visible object is either experienced or not, but if it is experienced, whether it's clear or faint will be according to the
whether Javana arises or not.
Ajahn, this is from Meena. She's doing a thing on the Vasuti Magrantika, and she's doing sati. One of her comments here is, firm remembrance is the proximate cause of sati. When one listens to the Dhamma and considers it again and again, there can be firm remembrance of what one has heard, and thus there are conditions for the arising of sati, which is mindful of the nama or rupa appearing at the present moment. So it sounds to me there that sati is some form of higher remembrance, because she's saying firm remembrance is the proximate cause of sati.
It's a cause. That doesn't mean sati is a firm remembrance itself.
But she does say back here that sati remembers, is non-forgetful of what is wholesome. And that's introduction to the Vasuti Marga. The text uses the word sarana, remembering, but this jetasika is different from sanya, so it was a bit confusing for me.
I know, I think that that is not sarana, it might be tarana.
Tarana, what,
yeah,
so what is
because
tarana?
It indicates that that sanya accompanies with sati, which is different from sanya, which is not accompanied by sati. That's why we know the different level and different kinds of sanya. Ordinary sanya is not that one, not the tarana. But when we use that term, it is sanya, which we know accompanies satipatthana, or higher than that.
Before I had it as being sarita, or sarana, I like being sarita as meaning remembering.
Look it up in the dictionary, two words, dharana and sarana, and sarita.
The question is, in what sense is sati
related to sanya?
Well, I'm going to say, going back to using the word firm remembrance.
It says, firm remembrance is the proximate cause of sati.
Can you say something about
that? Yes, because this moment there are dhammas. Is it firm enough to condition the arising of awareness to be aware?
Unless there's some remembrance.
On and on and on and on. It's absorbed. Not forgetful that this moment is Dhamma, theoretically, and then sati can be aware because it is conditioned by such understanding, never lost.
So it has to be on and on listening, on and on studying.
That is the, until it's firm sanya.
And even when there is firm, it still has to go on and on.
Yeah. Even right now, whenever sati arises, without that firm sanya, it cannot arise. Keep on forgetful that this moment is something or someone, not just visible object.
Yeah, there's
so is it referring to sanya in that sense?
Proximate cause of satipatthana.
Because I once asked the same question about sarita in a reference as being the condition, that's why I think it is sarita.
Well, she has got here, text, Vasuti, its proximate cause is strong perception, tirasanya.
Tirasanya.
So tirasanya means
firm
remembrance
of
reality.
It's just I wanted to clear that it seemed like sanya, or that remembering, was a strong condition for sati.
But not just any remembering.
No. Particularly, she does mention the Dhamma, considering it again and again. Keeping it as immobile as a stone instead of letting it go bobbing about like a pumpkin in water.
If there's not enough sati, one just has to keep reading and listening and considering, because otherwise no conditions.
For example, talking more about visual object can condition sati at this moment.
So it's actually listening to the Dharma and reflecting on it. It's like a snowball.